I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Getting my dad to say, I love you.
To say what?
Say he loves it.
Outrageous.
That is nonsense.
Welcome back to Getting My Dad to Say I Love You, the podcast where I chat to other people about their parents and most importantly, try and get my dad to say I love you to me. Here's my dad helping me with the intros. How are you, John?
I'm well. I'm enjoying these.
Great. I'm enjoying it too. We've got Jamali Maddox this week. Probably not a comedian who's in your stratosphere of what you watch.
I don't think I've met him.
You haven't met him?
It doesn't mean... Unless I was drunk or something and saw him at Edinburgh. And
yeah, that's a fair chance of that.
That could have happened.
He's been on the show Taskmaster. You've watched that?
No, so that's not a DIY show, is it?
No, it's not. It's where comedians do challenging but amusing tasks.
I haven't seen that. Is that good?
Very funny show. He's also in a show. He did a show for Vice. They had a channel and from the magazine where he would go around America chatting to groups of racists and sort of seeing why they're racist and making fun of them. That sounds, it was quite a very amusing but quite challenging time for him.
I'd say that was quite a difficult thing to do.
Yes, he's very good at it though. But now I'm going to find out a bit about his family and see if he's got any top tips for getting you to say I love you. All right, you want to hang out for an hour? What are you going to do for an hour while I go and chat to him?
Make a large gin and tonic.
Jamali Maddox, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, bro.
Thanks, man.
It's been a very long time since I've seen you the other day, isn't it?
Well, it hasn't. Yeah, twice in 3 days. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. But before that, well, I ain't seen you for years.
I know. It's just why I'm just very excited we get to do this.
Yeah. It's nice seeing you because you have a real LA glow to you now.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. You look different than you did when you was in London.
It's all the yoga and kale.
Yeah. You got a vibe to you now.
I haven't become a douchebag, have I?
No. But you had a lot of rips in your jeans the other day.
Oh, do you know what?
Like your whole kneecap was out. This Chris is different.
Do you know what's funny about that is Hannah bought me them and I was like, okay, it's a bit weird having intentional ripping your jeans. Yeah. And then literally the other day I was like, it was cool, but not so cool. I was like, I can't wear shorts to your gig. I've got to wear trousers. And yeah, I thought, if I've got a hole in them. And that's funny that I was a bit self-conscious. And the first thing you did is bring up Christmas ripped jeans. I'm like, that's cool, man. I'll just never wear them again.
They sued you.
That's very funny. What I like to start the pod with, as much as small talk and ripping my ripped jeans is amusing. I'd just like to know at the gate, have both your parents in your life said the phrase, I love you, to you before?
Yes.
They have, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
You have a close-knit relationship with your parents?
I mean, yes and no. I think as, when I started sort of working more, I've been away a lot and, you know, so, and I don't probably take as much time to call as I should.
Yeah.
So we're close in certain ways and not close in other ways. I think I'm very different to both my parents.
Oh, yeah?
So it probably puts a bit of a barrier between us.
Different in what way?
Well, I mean, just like my mum is quite, grew up not straight-laced, but became straight-laced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm obviously not.
Your laces are curvy.
Very curvy laces. And then my dad is very much like, my dad's like a real, cause I'm trying to find, all the metaphors or all the examples I'll give of my father might make him sound negative, but he's not a bad guy. He's a very good guy. But my dad's a very much like my dad's more of a simple man of life, you know, and he sort of like, he just likes the football and watch it and drink a beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm not really into that type of stuff. So it's like, you know, we don't have that much in common.
You don't have the, yes, I know there's a type of, I think there's nothing wrong with that, but it's different, isn't it? When someone, their like joy comes from the simplisticness of watching sport and having a bit. That's a type of guy I wish. I mean, I like those things,
but
I like doing other stuff as well. I know there's a type of guy that's like,
But at the same time, we have other, we do have stuff, you know, there is stuff we do have in common, but I'd say he's we are different. So, so probably not as we're not like, I think there's people who are so close to their parents, it becomes kind of creepy.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean though? Like I said, you don't even live your own life anymore. You sort of have this weird, creepy. Do you know what I'm saying? Though? Like a really weird relationship where it's just like my mum's my best friend.
I know.
Really, your mum's your best friend.
I know. It's
that's mental.
It is. I've always said this with my good pal Carl. We talk. No, I actually think it's something nice about that in one level. The other thing is like your best friend is a 65-year-old person. Nothing wrong with 65-year-olds, but that that is weird.
It's random as hell.
Like that you've just got such a different, in the same way, like if you date someone 10 years younger than you, as much as some people do, you're talking about TV shows and they don't know what you're talking about. Your frames of references are so different. So I find that a jarring thing. But I do know what you mean where some, especially in our industry, it's come up a bit in this podcast series. It's like, it's cool to have the supportiveness of the family, but then the ones that are like living and dying by what you're doing it's a lot of extra pressure on a job that's already got lots of highs and lows.
Yeah, and I feel kind of, it's weird, if I'm linking it back to my job as a comedian, I feel kind of guilty sometimes because like, especially in the early on, my mum would read the comments or my mum would read YouTube comments or what people have said about me. And get really upset about it.
Oh, right.
And look at all the tweets and
stuff. Did she reply ever?
Yeah, she did. I've seen the reply.
Oh, give me any fun replies.
It wasn't like a fun reply. It was just quite sad. It was just quite sad. I was just like, mum, blood, like you got to come off of that. Like, I don't care. And it's about me.
I know.
And I don't give a shit. You can't
care. But you're her baby, so she's like an attack.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
She doesn't get that it's like probably just a bored 11-year-old who's just trolling you for fun.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just part and parcel of the job. And I kind of accepted that, you know. And I get kind of, and because especially with like the show I did where I went around the world and spoke to Nazis and I got a lot of trolls.
Yeah.
Because of that, like, I have to be very private about who my parents, like I don't post any photos of my family and stuff. So because I'm aware that, you know,
they could come for you.
Yeah. And go for them. And I don't think it's fair on them because they never chose this.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mum's just a normal person with a normal job. Not saying I'm not a normal person, but John.
No, I know what you mean.
She's a civilian. No,
yeah, but she's not signed up to have some guy called Gary saying some horrific shit to on her Facebook page. She puts like a nice update on Facebook about a lovely day.
Yeah. And then someone's like, you're a fucking cunt. it's a bit harsh, isn't it?
I was just talking about some lovely flowers I picked today.
But to go back to the question, everyone close. Yeah, I we are kind of close. I mean, me and my mum butt heads. I mean, my mum's a very intelligent woman as well. So she's sort of like, but I disagree with her opinions a lot of the time, wholeheartedly.
Interesting.
So we butt heads on that because she can express her opinion very articulately.
Yeah.
And I vehemently disagree with it. So we end up having a very long discourse.
I think that's probably if that's happened for your whole life, I think that's helped you form you as a comedian because you come up with
that's a good point.
I like watching you on stage. You come up with very interesting points of view and build an argument. So it's funny that I don't know if your mum supportive when you wanted to become a comedian.
I mean, yeah, because I felt it's like I have a lot of sympathy for my mum, to be honest with you, like because it wasn't an easy job. Having to be my mum, growing up.
Have you got brothers and sisters?
I've got three sisters.
All right.
And my mom's a single mom too. Right. Like my mom and dad broke up when I was mad young, maybe like two.
Right.
And so she was a single mom, worked full time. So I was sort of raised a lot by my grandma.
Interesting.
So my mom would leave work at, you know, my mom would leave for work at 6 a.m. and come back at, you know, 8 o'clock at night. So I was like a latchkey kid after my grandma, you know, so when I could look after myself a little bit. And, you know, and I wasn't an easy kid, you know what I mean? I was always getting kicked out of school. I was always, you know, causing trouble. I was always, you know, causing issues. And so when I decided I was going to do comedy, I think deep down she was happy I was doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was one of them guys where it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of hope for what I was going to turn out to be. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh,
you decided,
yeah.
How old are you when you decided? You kind of started young.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'd say like I was doing comedy maybe at 17, 18.
Right.
You know, and I think when I said to my mom, look, this is what I'm doing, she kind of like, and plus it's not a world she understands. You know what I mean? It's like, you're going to be a what? Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, you don't understand that's an option. So she was like, she was supportive in some ways and maybe not supportive in the other ways, but I don't blame her for that.
I think that's a common, you know. My mum, in a different way, when I started doing it, was like, what? And then when I showed her, oh, I made this money from it, she was like, okay. Like, not that it's just about money, but I think a mum and mums and dads of different spectrums and all those caveats, but I do think they want you to be safe in your life, and it's kind of an unsafe, unpredictable industry, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And plus it's like, I think, even when I did Live at the Apollo, which is a show back in England, which is kind of like, for a comedian, it's quite a milestone.
It is.
To do that show.
It's how you be mum famous, I always say. Yes. Talk about this on the podcast.
You become mum famous.
Mum famous, and mum can watch you on that.
Yeah. But even then, my mum was still just like, so how do you think it's going? Like, she just couldn't grasp that it was, do you know what I'm saying? Like, even then,
because you're just a little boy, so she's like, what? People pay to listen to your opinions that I don't agree with.
She still doesn't understand to this day that I tour. And the people come to watch me. She comes to every tour.
She'll come watch every tour.
Every tour.
But she doesn't like the show.
She doesn't like the show.
You don't talk about your mum on stage?
Sometimes.
I didn't
know. But not like.
How does she feel about that?
She don't like it.
That's funny.
She don't like it.
My mum only likes the bit in my stand-up where I talk about her and my dad. And she won't laugh for any of the rest of it.
Yeah,
which again is that weird thing we talked about earlier, which is your parents are your best friends. Like, I'm glad my mum doesn't actually love the rest of my stuff because I'm like, well,
make comedy for mums.
I'm not doing, I mean, some mum, I don't swear a lot, so some mums will, I don't even think they listen, they'll be like, I really enjoyed that, you didn't swear much. And I was like, is that what you, that you paid that money to just hear a person not swear?
It's a weird enjoyment some people get in it. Well, it was clean, okay, but did you like it? Like, it's not, but, my mom doesn't enjoy my act. And I did a voiceover the other day for, where I played the lizard. And it was proper shit. And my mom texted me and she was like, I'm so happy you did that. That's the only thing I can watch of yours that doesn't make me cry. And I was just joking, but it's very funny. Like, it's just like she doesn't get it, and she's sort of coming to understand that some other people do get it.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that she'll get people from her work be like, oh, you know, your son is a comedian and on TV. Hey, we're gonna come to his show. My mum warns them, like, listen, he's it's rough.
It's ruder than his lizard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's rough. And then like they'll come and they'll just sit there and go, it's your son. But yeah, so
That's kind of, I think that's all right though. She's like, and she's in that, she's happy you're making the living and doing all right, but she doesn't mean she has to love everything you do, and she doesn't want that limelight.
She respects that I'm an adult, I'm 30 years old, I can make my own decisions about what I want to do and what I say, you know. And but then my dad.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So is that what you said? So
I didn't mean I'm glad you're moving on. I was going to say, I'm interested to hear how your dad feels about your stuff.
My dad, you know what? It's weird, isn't it? Because my mum and dad are very different. My dad is very... My mom grew up very working class. And then when I got a little bit older, say when I got to my late teens, early 20s, she sort of decided she's more middle class now.
That's where your love of lattes come from.
But I grew up working class my whole life, you know. So it's like I still always resonated with that more than I did anything else. Because I was sort of like in my 20s, I was sort of looking after myself at that point anyway. And my dad is like painter and decorator proper, you know what I mean, from Leighton, working class through and through. And he sort of had this mentality, I think, which I think you see a lot in working class communities where they're just kind of like, oh, if that's what your dream is, you do it until you can't do it anymore. And then you do it a little bit more after that.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad always just told me, whatever you want to do in life, you do it. Like, I don't care what it is. Like,
just do 100%.
He goes, and he said to me, if you're going to do it, you better do it. You don't give it no half-ass. I love that. And I think it's kind of a little part of it is to do with the fact that when my dad was young, he was a real good football player, soccer player for the American audience. We're trying to make this bi-coastal. but he was a real good football player. And he busts his knee up and it just, that was it. He could never play football again. And I think he had dreams of being professional or semi-pro or whatever. And I think that kind of like, he knows what it's like to want to do something and you can't. So if you want to do something, you better go do it. Do you know what I mean?
I know, I 100% relate in a slightly different way, but I think I get from my dad, he was a lawyer because his parents made him be one, but he never wanted to do it. And he told me every day of my life, never, whatever you do, don't you dare be a lawyer. And so it instilled in me a similar thing, which is like, do what you love. But I would watch him working all the time. And it had, I guess, by osmosis, the same thing, which was, if I'm going to do it, I have to do it so well. And it's not like, it sounds like both are kind of doing the same thing, where they're not being pushy. They're not like, you've got to achieve this dream, which is, that's a different type of dad. That dad is like, you're going to play golf every minute of every day. But there is something, I think it's a healthier thing, which is like, if you're going to do the thing,
then bang it out.
Just go for it and don't leave anything. Because a thing that all the comics on here I've interviewed of, as much as some of them, you just get up stage, you fuck about. Like, everyone is successful and they're successful because of a work ethic. And that's interesting that that comes mainly from your dad, sort of. I mean, obviously your mum's going to be a hard worker as well, but that is interesting. That stuck with you though, that like, as soon as, because if you're 17, 18, you decided to do it. And obviously you've risen to a really nice point in your career. You must have been like, because there's loads of comics that we've come up with and seen who, in some ways, I don't know if you agree, you think, oh, they're pretty, expect different stages. They're better than me. They're funnier. And then
they fall off.
They fall off because you have to constantly
be
grafting and changing it up and keeping it fresh as well.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It's like, my mum's like one of those people where growing up she was working 12-hour shifts and you know, to make it happen and to put food on the table. And you know, one thing about, we never grew up rich, and I didn't realize how much money we didn't have at times because my mum never let me see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying though? Like, there was always Christmas presents under the tree.
Yeah.
There was always,
she put you guys first.
Yeah. And my mum went without a lot. So it's like that sort of really hard, just graft working. I think I get from kind of both of them, and probably more so my mum, because that's who I grew up with.
Yeah.
That's who I saw. Well, I only saw my dad on weekends.
Right.
Growing up. And then when I got a little bit older, I could go to his house when I wanted, type vibe, you know, because it was just down the road. But so I was sort of raised more with my mum, and I sort of saw my mum more. And I sort of, you know, had, that's the sort of thing that I think I probably got subconsciously.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? You don't even, they don't have to say, work hard every day. You can just watch and you go, oh shit, she's doing that. There's no reason I can't do that.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, in actual fact, I think that's one thing about my mum is that she probably, because I don't work as hard as I can at this job. And I think my mum kind of sees that and knows that I'm not.
Interesting.
And probably tells me to graft a little harder.
Don't we all think that though? Don't we all go, like, there's all these hours in the day, but then you forget with a job, It is like mentally quite tiring. Yeah. Like not to just like pat ourselves on the back.
We should have a rest.
We should. No, but like, and again with this job, it's not like just clock. Yeah, 10,000 hours. I agree in principle with that a lot of time. But it has to be purposeful practice. And also you have to like live a life.
Yeah.
Talk about your life on stage. You can't just be
fucking. Facts. You got to live a life. And you also got to have let your time. You got to let yourself have time to think.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was with my ex. And she was like, I need to get some work done. So I need to get some work done too. And I started watching TV. And she goes, aren't you getting work done? I'm like, I'm thinking. That's my job.
It's true though.
My job is to sit here and I'm just going to think for an hour.
I know.
That's my job. And you know, she didn't understand it.
She didn't
know. That's being an ex. But, yeah, man. But yeah, so I think that hard work mentality of just, you know, constantly grinding came from, you know, just, yeah, my dad kind of instilled that into me of like, if you want it, you know, just do it and go for it. And I think my dad's real, you know, like I think both my parents are very proud of me, but I think my dad in particular, like, you know, I think he enjoys it a lot. And he comes to the shows as well.
When you get good career, when this has come up a few times, when you get good career news, do you call him straight away?
No.
Do you tell him? You don't?
I don't really talk about my career with my parents.
Interesting.
Like maybe sometimes if it comes up, but I try not to. Like I don't really.
That's very healthy.
Yeah, I try to like.
It's way healthier than me.
But then do you know what the sad thing is? I think my mum would hope I did tell her more about mm-hmm. my career. But it's just for me, it's like I have to just see it as my life, or it becomes too surreal for me anyway.
Yeah.
Or it becomes too all encompassing to my whole life, and there is like, you know, I need them to just be normal and not care about my job so I can switch off from it. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I guess it's like, you know, I don't know. But I don't call them when I get career news now.
Interesting.
I don't call anyone really.
Yeah, is that like a, there's always that, there's some people who, there's the other end of that spectrum where they're like on Instagram or be like, guys, yeah. And I just see that and I'm like, yeah. You did.
Yeah.
It's like a game, isn't it? Some people go, I've done this and this. The people that get a pat on the back, and I want people to go, well done. And like, what are you doing this for? Really? Like, ultimately, it is for ourselves, right? You want to get the satisfaction from doing it and getting more stuff. But when I tell my parents, and I think it's a lot of.
You tell your parents when you get something.
Especially because when we're out here, I think it's a bit like to be like, we're not insane. Like, I haven't moved to another country. And I'm just like on the dole or something.
You know what? It's kind of like, especially that you've moved to LA. Like, you see your family like, oh, where's Chris gone? He's moved to Hollywood.
Yeah.
To try and be famous.
Because there's loads of people that move here and do other stuff.
It's I know.
There's a person that moved here. I don't know. I won't give too much details, but she was like, we met her when we first came out here through needing to rent a car.
Yeah.
And renting a car for a month, like come for a month and do pilot season or whatever. And renting a car is expensive.
It's a bit funny.
But this woman just like had this, I don't know what it was, but I'm pretty sure they were like just secondhand cars. I don't think it was either they were stolen or like Hannah like smashed one like once. She went, oh, I've hit this. She went, Dad, don't worry about it. And it was like, but it was like $500 a month for a car. And I was like, all right, these, and they were like three door, like, hatchbacks in LA.
Yeah.
And I was like, but she, I'm sure, came over to be an actor and is now doing that. And there's nothing wrong with having you want to make a living, you're fine.
Yeah.
But I think anytime anything happens career-wise, I'm like, just so you know, we're not selling stolen cars.
I think if people move to LA and they move here just to work in IT, I think you're mental. Like, unless you're coming here to do... there's better cities to live in. Just to live a normal life.
Sunshine and the work are the big things here, right?
Yeah, but unless you're coming in to make TV, I'm not living out here. I'm going to move to LA to be a plumber. You're mental. move to Chicago or something.
Sorry to any plumbers out here. You need people in TV need a plumber.
That's very good. No. It's just the fact of like...
If you fully move from another country, it's hard to get a visa.
Well, just to live in LA. It's not the best city.
I'm
saying there's better cities.
I understand where you're coming from. There's things I miss about other cities, but I do like... Yeah. I do, yeah, the work's a big part of it.
Of course.
What was I going to say? So if we go back, then you mentioned your grandmother. Is she still with us?
Yeah.
Is she? How does she feel about you doing this? If she's the one that you feel was like around a lot.
Yeah, she's... She's she cuts out all the... She cuts out the newspaper stuff.
There we go.
The newspaper, she'll cut them out. And
that's sweet.
And but the thing is, she doesn't like... She's a bit old now, so she'll cut out even the bad ones.
Like she puts up your 2-star reviews.
Yeah. Like she'll cut out like my 3-star reviews from the Times. I'm like, for fuck's sake, grandma. But yeah, she would like... She records everything.
Oh, that's nice.
She'll watch all the little, you know... Yeah, so she'll watch it all.
She'll watch you on any panel show on TV?
Yeah, she'll watch it all.
She'll fast forward to your bits. Does she ring you up and go like, you were great, I didn't like that person? Like,
Yeah. Like all of my family let me know who they like and who they don't like, you know. Like they definitely, like my mum loves Tom Allen.
Oh, who doesn't?
And she doesn't believe I know him. She's like, you don't know him, he's great. And I'm like, no, I know Tom. Yeah, so no, you funny. Don't. Like, she still doesn't believe I know him. But yeah, they'll watch all of that. And yeah, my grandma hasn't missed anything I've done. She'll record it all.
She's come to your live shows?
She ain't been to a live show yet, you know.
Interesting. How would she take it? Because obviously it's...
I think, you know what, man? I think she's... She's a chilled grandma. Yeah, she's got a good sense of humour and she can appreciate that. It's just a joke. I think my mum and dad don't want her coming. They don't let see. My dad's mum though is real like conservative, like Christian, like she's like Jamaican, mm-hmm. and she's like a real like goes to church every Sunday,
right?
And they don't let her watch my stuff.
She's like, oh, what's he at? Smashing the remote out of her hand.
They don't let her watch my stuff because they say it's too much for you. But my mum's mum is fine, like, you know, she's heard it all and she's got quite a you know, she's got a very good sense of humour.
Do you think, like, obviously we talked about the hard work, the other aspect is the creativity and the humour. Do you think that's your grandmother?
Nah.
She's not that funny.
No, not that funny. She can appreciate a joke. She can't create one.
Anyone can laugh. Any idiot can laugh.
Do you know what, man? Like, I say, like, the funniest people in my family, like, my uncle was, like, I remember growing up thinking my uncle was the funniest guy alive. Like, so probably like him. My mum's quite funny, to be fair. Even though, like, we are different in a lot of ways, I think I'm more like my mum than I'd like to admit.
Yeah.
You know,
always.
Yeah. But she's very funny. My mum has a very good sense of humor, to be fair. Like, my mum, like, she likes Harry Hill. My mum loved Kenny Everett.
Yeah, Kenny Everett. That's okay. She's like more kind of wacky.
Yeah, she's
wacky
kind of like
stuff.
Yeah, like Harry Hill, and you know, she's sort of like, you know.
That's why she doesn't like your live show. She's like, use some more props up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, my mum's always got an opinion about showbiz.
Amazing.
And I always have to say to mum, like, so tell me, when did you work in showbiz? You know, I've been doing this for like, I've been doing this for a long time. And she's like, she always says to me, you should talk about your granddad more. People want to hear about your granddad. And no one was.
Amazing.
But so she's got a very good sense of humor.
There we go.
So probably might have got it from her. But I don't believe in like funny being passed down genetically.
Yeah, I mean, my parents are both funny in their own way, but I wouldn't.
You wouldn't put it on stage. You wouldn't let them middle.
No, I wouldn't let them. I wouldn't put them on a curated show by me.
Yeah.
But they're like, my dad, to be fair, is, and I've been on this podcast, like, it feels, I'm not trying to slag him off. I think he's amazing, but he just makes me laugh as a human because he like, finally is uncomfortable talking about love and emotions. He's a very lovely man and wants everyone to have a good time. But he honestly... It's like he got frozen in time from the age of 12, but is in a 66-year-old man's body. Like the way he's just like happy-go-lucky. It's like useless at like doesn't know how to use a washing machine. He's just like he's a big adult baby, but lovely. But he's never been, and one thing I actually think is a great thing that he passed on to me, which loads of comedians don't seem to have, is we can all be thin-skinned and we don't like, but I honestly, like, you could pretty much say anything to me, like, in terms of, like, rinsing me, and I just find it funny. But loads of comedians
quite sensitive.
Very sensitive. Yeah, yeah. But he has very good sense of humour about himself, very self-deprecating.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's actually an important thing. American comedians have it less than British ones, not criticising them, but I'm just saying they don't laugh about themselves as much. But that, I think that's a healthy thing to be passing on.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a British culture thing that they don't have here. Like, if I'm on stage here, I've got the whole thing of, even if the show's going well, I go, fuck, this is going terrible. And in America, they go, no, come on, keep on trying.
Yeah, they're like, don't give up, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in England, they go, yeah, you are shit. You know what I mean? And I think we have that kind of much more of a self-deprecating thing. And again, because like my mum, you know, would always, you know, my mum would say, you know, like, shut the fuck up, or, you know what I'm saying, or, shut up, what the fuck are you talking about? Do you know what I mean? And it's not in like a malice way, but just in like a, you know.
She's like, you're talking too much. Yeah, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And so it gives you thicker skin.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Was your parents strict growing up?
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you that, actually.
Oh, sorry, man.
No, I'm glad you asked, because I was going to, I think that's, because we talk about work ethic and then there's discipline. I could swear from my parents, like, posh. My mum's like more working class. My dad is very posh. So it's quite funny because Hannah's parents, even when I see them now, I can't swear, which is funny.
Oh, word.
I'm like, I'll be in the, and sometimes, and they still call us children, which is a funny thing. They go, all right, children. And I'm like, I'm 35. And then I've been in the back of the car. And I don't know if this resonates with me, but I'm an older brother of a younger sister. So I've always kind of liked leading. Yeah. But when I go see him, and the parents are getting on a bit, so they're driving less. But when I used to go see him outside Edinburgh, like, the dad and mum would drive, and she'd be in the front, and I'd be sitting in the back. I feel like a little... And I said the word, oh, something shit. And Hannah was like, Chris, don't say shit. And I'm like, fuck, I can't say shit.
Yeah.
And I'm so used... So I used to be able to swear... I'm almost certain there was a point where I stopped getting a bedtime and all that. And it was like, it was very much a just work it out yourself.
Yeah.
To the point, though, where once they... My mum... She used to make me brush my teeth every day, as you do when you're a kid.
Oh,
and then one day she stopped. Well, here's the thing. One day she just stopped, like, telling me to. Yeah. So I just didn't brush my teeth for 6 months, and I got four fillings. I was like, oh, I just thought we were good. I thought you just brushed them every day till you ate, and then you it was like,
that's funny,
like, man. A clear path afterwards. Mm. So not really. It didn't get grounded. Like, they were just like, it was kind of like, don't be a dick was the attitude. Yeah. And I was like, all right, don't be a dick. Why? Yeah. Do you get punished and grounded? Do you get expelled and stuff? Do you get, slapped?
My mum, see, the thing is, so my mum is 5'2". So smacking ended pretty early on because I became 6 foot at like 13.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? No. Yeah, so like, you know, it got to a point where my mum would try and smack me. And it was just bouncing off of me.
Yeah.
And then you could see the disappointment. And then she tried to, like, you know, use things.
She's like Anthony Joshua versus that guy the other day. She's like, none of this is
working. Yeah, it just didn't work anymore. I remember my mum punched me one time. So when I was a kid, I loved TV. That's all I loved. Like, I was fine not going. My mum tried to ground me. I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'd watch TV. I would watch TV for hours.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours. And basically one time, long story short, is I was out on the front of my house and I was playing with the kid next door. And he was throwing a stone and I was hitting it with a stick. So it was sort of like baseball, but with stones and sticks.
Yeah, there you go.
And it smashed a window. And my mum, it was on a Sunday, so my mum had to pay for a window replacement on a Sunday, which is like, you know, it was like probably like £200.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But back then, that was an insurmountable amount of money.
It's the Sunday charge, which is the more annoying than the actual thing itself. Yeah.
And I remember I was so shook that my dad lived about one stop on the train, so maybe a bike ride, maybe say 25-minute bike ride, right? I was so shook, I jumped on my bike and I just rode to my dad's house.
Really?
Yeah, rode to my dad's
house. How old were you?
Man, I must have been about like, I must have been about 10, 9,
really? Because of just how enraged she was?
No. I didn't even wait to see.
Oh, really?
I know my mum was going to flip. So I just ducked out. I was like, but I'm out, fam. Boom. Out. I'm skirting. Yeah.
The ultimate home run. Drop the stick and then just walk off.
Yeah. I just jumped on my little bike, my little BMX, and I pedaled to my dad's. And it was, I was going to my dad's house anyway because it was the weekend. So I remember I got to my dad's house and my dad was like, hey Jamal, what's up? And I'm like, oh, nothing. And then I told my dad what happened and my dad was like, oh, okay, cool. And I remember my dad took me to the park and I remember my dad was like, 1 second, your mum's calling me. And he was on the phone and I could just see him going, yeah, he's with me. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay, no, right. Puts on the phone. And I go, what did she say? And my dad just shook his head and he goes, boy, you better enjoy this weekend, innit? He's like, bruv, you better enjoy this weekend, bruv, because Monday, you're fucked, innit?
Oh, that's so funny.
And I remember I was the whole weekend, I'll be having fun. I remember, ah, shit, I'm going home. And my mum's going to give me mad shit.
Oh,
and I was
no.
Horrible. And then I got home. Oh, but my mum was so fucking mad. And basically, my mum banned me from playing PlayStation and watching TV.
I thought you were going to say she's going to ban you from playing with a stick. Oh, what a result that is.
She banned me from watching TV for 2 months. I was allowed to go outside.
2 months?
I was allowed to go outside.
Really?
But I wasn't allowed to watch TV. Bro, when I tell you, that was, yeah.
Murder.
I understand how John McCain felt when he was captured by the Viet Cong, bro. It was mental torture, bro. Yeah, it was mental torture, yeah.
You would have got so good at hitting a stone by the end of that, though. You're so good at stick baseball.
Man, bro, it was torture. I remember my mum would come home from work and put her hat back hand on my PlayStation to check if it was warm, to see if I was playing it. Bro, it was the worst punishment. So she did shit like that. Like, and yeah, my mom was like, my mom tried to be strict, but me and my older sister were hooligans at that
really?
Point. So it was, so when we got to that age, like 13, 14, when you're trying to, when you're becoming, you know, a teenager and you either go one way or the other, we went one way and it was just bad. And we, you know, so even my mom tried, so where we were naughty, my mom tried to be more strict, and where she was trying to be more strict, we just became more, well, I'm going to do it anyway type.
Right.
And
did she just pivot to the younger sisters? Like, these guys are lost causes.
Well, do you know what my mom had? So there's a gap between me, my sister, because my mom remarried. So it's me and my older sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two, my other two sisters. There's like quite an age gap. So I'm 30, and then my other sister that's younger than me is 21.
Okay.
And then my other sister is 16.
Right.
So it's age gap, right? So my mum was older when she had them. So she, like, let them get away with way more shit.
Really?
Than what we got away with. Because it's just like, she was just older then, and she just kind of, you know.
She'd seen what you guys had done, and was, you know, like, what I mean? It can't be worse than
I think that was a lot of it, because I think they were more well-behaved than us. But at the same time, it's just, my mum was just, you know, my mum's an older woman now. Because you understand, when she had me, she was 23.
Yeah.
So she had energy to tell us off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Of course.
But then you get older, you don't have the energy to be like, you know what, yeah, I could go to the party. I don't, you know, but.
But just don't die.
Yeah.
Don't die or kill anyone.
Yeah, I'll say, when I was young, my mum hates this, and if my mum ever listens to this, I'm very sorry I said this. Do you know who reminds me of my mum a little bit when I was growing up?
Tell me.
You remember Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah.
The mum.
Wow.
That's kind of how my mum was.
Interesting.
But then on the flip side, my dad, it was Lord of the Flies.
Really?
You did whatever you want. Like, my dad, you know.
That's a common, it's a common dad, relaxed dad vibe. Yeah. It's like, which is, that's hard though. If you're going to go from, you're going between the two every week.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird, and it's just like, even the whole family on that side, it's just kind of Lord of the Flies. You know, there's certain things that on that side of the family was just fine. And it's kind of culturally fine. And you could, like, right. You know what I'm saying?
And you're like, now you look back at it and go, oh, shit, that we shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Come here, son.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I was sort of smoking at 14 and stuff like
that. Your dad was cool with it.
My dad wasn't cool with it. Like my dad, like I could smoke a cigarette in front of my dad, maybe late 15, 16. With no, because cigarettes were 16 back in the day when I was a kid. Back in the good the freedom
the,
days.
The good old days.
Yeah, now it's 18 back home.
Before cancel culture.
Before these bloody liberals. But it was, so at 16, I was smoking in front of my dad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to be honest, you know, my mum.
Well, your dad, his story to. I was going to just spot, he made me think, did you. Were you sleeping with girls there, telling your dad about it? Was he cool about it?
My dad has always been.
Is he like more of like your matey dad? Yeah. Like an older brother in some ways.
Yes. And I think as well, because I didn't see him that, you know, I spoke to him a lot and he's like, you know, he was a present father, but, you know, I didn't grow up with him or live with him. So I guess it kind of changed the dynamics of the relationship. But my dad, see, the thing about my dad is, and what's different between my mum and my dad, is when I was a kid, if I told my dad I did something, and if I told him the truth, I wouldn't get in trouble.
Mm.
And that was the thing with my dad. My dad said, if you tell me the truth, you won't get in trouble. And he stuck to his word. No matter what I did, if I said to him, Dad, I did this, he said, okay, you told me the truth. My mum, it didn't matter if you told the truth or not, you got in the same amount of trouble.
Really?
So you just lied.
Okay,
it
interesting.
Didn't matter. You know, so my dad, like, growing up, you could just... You know, I, you know, telling him stuff I did, you know, even if it was good or bad, it didn't change the consequences. You know what I'm saying? So I could tell him about, you know, sleeping with girls or doing this or doing that because it, you know, that age it wasn't a.
You
wasn't
just a to go back on something you kind of just alluded to there, like.
Oh, sorry.
No. You've made me think of this, which has come up a bit. Is like when I was younger, I used to think. I think this is normal with boys anyway. Oh, my dad is like, he's pretty fun and he's having a laugh and then my mum's fucking nagging him and shouting at him and putting more rules in place.
I get you.
And now I'm older, I'm like, no, actually, she was really good at her job.
She was guiding
the
ship.
And he was like a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah,
like,
I get
it. But I love him.
100% what
you're saying. Like, but it's, you realise that it's almost like, not a bad comedian, but like, you can making a kid laugh by doing some shit that would never, like, if a comedian, if you said like a joke to a kid and they like loved it, then as an adult, you'd be like, that's not very good.
Yeah.
But that's the same sort of thing in the parenting. I'd be like, it's so easy to like make a kid think you're cool and fun. Yeah, it's like, and maybe I've got that from my dad. It's like, I want people to think I'm a fun, nice guy. And it's the popularity contest thing.
And that's why I was going to bring up this point. That's why I have sympathy for my mum a lot of the time, because my mum had to be, because my mum was a single mum trying to raise a man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying though?
Yeah.
And she's a very strong woman too. My mum ain't no fucking pushover by any stretch of imagination, but she's trying to raise a man, and a man that is naughty, and a man who's bad, and a man who's doing, misbehaving a lot, and, you know, not, could go on the bad track so easily.
Yeah.
And growing up in not the nicest area, so there's all that stuff around you and you know, and my mum, you know, I feel terrible, man, sometimes, because it's like the horror and the worry my mother must gone through.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Because I grew up in East London at a time where it was the postcode wars, And in the postcode wars, where it basically just stabbings were happening quite routinely in London of young kids my age getting killed. And, you know,
that didn't happen in Chiswick.
Right? No, yeah. But you know what I'm saying, though?
I know.
Like, that was happening. And you know, and I was out to 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. You know what I'm saying? My mom don't know where I am. Mm-hmm. She don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm at 12 o'clock at night.
She must have been scared regularly.
You know what I'm saying? I feel, and I wasn't doing that. I wasn't out here. I'm not pretending I'm out here fucking gangbanging. But, you know, I wasn't, you know, I was out. And you know, and I thought I have a lot more sympathy for my mom. And the fact that my dad was, it was easy for my dad to be the, hey, yeah, fucking smoke. He didn't have to live with us.
Of course.
He got to give us back on the weekend.
He got 20 minutes set, Jamali.
Yeah.
Not 1 hour Edinburgh Tuesday night, it. 3 weeks into 100%. The festival.
And my mom had to be the discipline. And my mom had to be the sort of the you know, the prison warden. And my dad got to be the, you know, the entertainment. So yeah, I feel, you know, I do feel kind of more sympathetic.
I think that's right. You can't feel too bad because that's just who you were as a kid. But you're right. I do think that's an interesting thing as we get a bit older. That clarity of like, oh yeah, I that was the narrative I had at the time, and now I'm like, definitely as I've got older, I'm like, love them both. I'm like, oh, I sort of sympathize way more with my mum.
Yeah.
But the older I get, as the more you worry as an adult, I'm like, cool. She was just trying her best.
And my mum instilled me with a lot of morals that I still hold on to this day. And it kind of made me the person I was. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she instilled in me some like moral values.
Did she have any like catchphrases or phrases or do your dad like that have stuck in your head?
There's one that my my favorite one my mom said, and we always take the piss out of it, me and my sister, is I'm not being funny, but this is a joke. I love that one. I'm not being funny, but this is a joke.
When she's pissed off.
I'm not being funny, but this is a joke. One of my favorite ones.
I love it.
And my dad is not my business, not my problem.
That sounds just from you describing them, the perfect catchphrases that sum up their different parenting styles.
Not my business, not my problem. That's what my dad says. Say something happened, like you go, man, did you hear about this person got this girl fucking pregnant, he's got a wife, and my dad would go, shit, not my business, not my problem. But like, that was my bad. But my what else did my mom say? My mom, no, it was the one that sticks out is
I'm not being funny.
I'm not being funny, but this is a joke.
I love it.
And
she still say it now.
Yeah. She still break it out, and we'll fucking burst out laughing. And one of the things that was like a signature move, I know this is not a catchphrase, but a signature move, is when me and my sister, my mom used to have a Ford Fiesta. I remember it was a white Ford Fiesta.
First car, yeah, red one though.
Big dent at the back from when she backed into a lamppost. And I remember me and my sister would be bad at the back, and we'd be fighting or something, or arguing, and my mom would be driving and she would take her hand and put it behind her and just pinch randomly to just stop it. That anyone who got hit by the pinch,
just blind pinching.
Yeah. And
that's hilarious.
And me and my sister would have to shake our legs.
Like one of those grabby machines where you don't even know what you're doing.
And we'd call it the crab. We were like, fuck, she's doing the crab. And have to like move your legs on that, because she'd just be pinching randomly to try and stop us.
I was going to say, actually, this is going back a few points, but another thing that's popped up a few times. You said you were playing with the boy next door, the game. Did he have a family? Like, I had my oldest friend, Tom, I used to go to his mum and dad's all the time. They're almost like second family to me, the way they treat. And it was interesting. I'd go to theirs, and especially when you're growing up, only in hindsight, but like, oh, they gave me stuff that they were much more affectionate with their love.
I
love you a lot around each other. And I think you always do as a kid. You go, oh, I wish my family was more like that.
Yeah.
And then you get older, you go, no, I'm glad my family were the way they were. But do you have a close relationship with him or his family or any other like?
No, not him, but like, say there's a guy I grew up with, that we were like, especially in primary school and early secondary school, we used to say we were cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of those ones, and we say we're cousins, and I call his mum. If I see his mum now, I still call her auntie.
Oh, that's nice.
He'll call my mum auntie.
Oh, that's cute.
And Yeah, so I grew up, and so I was around their house a lot as a kid growing up. And that house was it was a mad house.
Really?
Oh my God, it was a.
You used to like it because it was.
Oh
like,
yeah,
because it was like it. A slice of your dad's action in the weekdays.
Yes, yeah, bro, that's the perfect way of summing it up. It was a fucking mad house, bro. It was just hooligans.
Anything went.
Hooligans. We were running in and out of that, man. It was hooligans, man. It was, and it even got later in life. It was the part. It was the place where we all hung out. We
they would have fun. Weed. Come have the party.
Yeah, we were smoking weed there and do it. Like, bro, it was, man. It was a madness.
One of those mums were like, if you're just like very polite and give her a little peck on the cheek and say how you doing, then she's like, ah, you guys go do your fun.
Yeah. She was like that, Auntie Pat, man. She let you go out there and you just, man. Yeah, we had a lot. Yeah, so growing up. Going around there, like, I'm sorry, when we were little kids, though, we was like, you know, running up and down the stairs and doing this, and the mum shouting, stop fucking playing, but we're carrying on anyway. And coming back, then he would come to my house with my mum and bring that energy, and my mum would lose her mind.
Yes.
Because my mum loved him as a kid, because he was fucking bad, right? But my mum, he was always very, he's cheeky, but he was very charming.
Yes.
But he was bad as shit. So him and his sister would come around my house, and my mom to this day still brings up, like, man, I remember he used to come around. I used to hate when he came around because he would be sliding down the banister.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I split his head open. We were play fighting and I pushed him. And you see the door handle?
Yeah.
The little metal thing?
Oh.
On the thing that goes in the door.
Like, oh,
the
that rope. Little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Sliced his head open.
Ooh, that's
had to
gross.
Get stitches. Bro, it was
How
like,
did you feel when he, because my mum is more strict than my mate Tom's mum and dad. Mm. She was away. She did a lot of like night shifts nursing his mum, so it was very busy. And the dad was away working in the day, so we'd just fucking power slam his younger brother. We'd practice all our wrestling moves. Very fun. And he's very energetic, Tom. And then my mum would tell him off, and then I'd feel like mortified. You know, and you just go, oh, that's so fucking embarrassing.
Do you know, my mum never really told off other kids, but I grew up.
That's funny that she just quietly hated it.
Yeah.
She was just like, can I just tell you now we're older? I hate
Come on, mum. You know, my mum, again, it's how I do explain her. She is a very sweet woman. Like, she's like, you know, she's like, anyone I've brought to my house, she's very loving. She's very like, oh, hey, you know, she's like, you know, like, if I brought you around to my mom's house, she's like, do you want to eat something? You want to drink? What do you want? You know what I'm saying? Relax. How you doing? You good? You know what I mean? My mom's really like that. So my mom would just sit there and hate it in silence because she knew it was my best friend. You know what I mean? With kids, you know what I mean? She's not, you know, she appreciates that we're just little kids. But my mom never really told off other people, but I didn't find it as shocking because... especially on my dad's side of the family. On my mom's side, it was very different. My mom's side is you disciplined your own kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, my auntie didn't tell me off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But on my dad's side, there were so many of us. Anyone, if you saw a kid doing something bad, they told you off.
Small human need could be told off.
Man, I remember one time I told my auntie, you can't smack me. And she smacked my ass.
Really?
And I lost my mind, bro. I was like, you can't do this to me. But yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, but because it was like
just a picture a house of little humans and just like hands flying.
Yeah,
like a game of gladiators.
Yeah, that's
the
way it was, bro. It's just you just had to, you know, because it was like on my dad's side. So on my mom's side, I've got four cousins.
Mm-hmm.
On my dad's side, I have about 40 first cousins.
What?
And all of them have a kid.
Oh my God.
And then some of their kids have kids.
Christ.
Do you know what I mean? So 40 cousins, and all of them have minimum, like, majority of them have minimum 3 kids.
Mate, your family tree is a fucking huge. Redwood on that side. It's so massive. Huge.
But then there was sort of that weird kind of, it's a cultural thing though.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like, it takes a village to raise a child type vibe.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like more of an old school mentality. Like, on my dad's side, so my dad, my godfather is my dad's best friend growing up. And I love this guy, man. He's a mark. I fucking love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a real, like, he collected comic books, but he was like a fucking, like, He was the first guy who had comic books that I ever saw, and I said, love guy, and they look at him. And he was like a fucking tough cunt too, man. This guy always scrapping, just, do you know what I'm saying? But like, lovely guy.
Yeah.
But just, you know what I'm saying?
I know those people. Yeah,
do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
He's always scrapping.
Great guy.
Great guy.
He went to prison for 2 years for assaulting someone, but a lovely
but
guy.
I loved him, man, and he would do anything for me. And to this day, you know what I mean? He would do anything for me. And you know, I loved him, and I still do love him. And I remember when I was a kid, he taught me one of the biggest lessons I've ever learned. Is I remember I was a little kid, I must have been about five, six, and I still remember it vividly, is I bit him on his hand.
Ooh.
And he says to me, if you bite me again, I'm going to fucking bite your back. I said, bro, you can't bite me. I bit him. He bit me on my hand. Bro, he bit my hand, yeah?
Oh, my God.
He bit, blood.
He bit a five-year-old's hand.
Blood.
Oh, bruv. My God.
Do you think I ever bit him again?
No.
Do you know what I'm saying, though? But like, that was like one of that. But that's how they just teach kids back then.
Yeah.
Like, he bit my hand.
Imagine him just going back like to the pub. That night. How's your baby?
Bit a five-year-old. Standard Wednesday for me.
I remember that so vividly. It's like I bit him. And he goes, bite me again and I'm going to bite your back. And I went, yeah, you can't bite me. And I bit him again. And he went, yeah, he fucking bit me. And I remember I told my dad. And then my dad went, boy, you shouldn't have been biting me. Why are you biting people,
bro? Why are you with your baby teeth biting an adult with his big old grown-up teeth? That's a stupid battle. You're never going to win.
Why are you biting big man?
I'm just finding that extra funny imagining out here, because LA has obviously extremely overly, what's the type of parent where they're just, don't say no. Don't say no. Yeah. You're talking about getting bitten.
Yeah.
He's like, didn't say no. I just bit him.
But that's a different mentality. It was just a different, because it was that whole vibe of it takes a village to raise a child, and Godfather meant something. And it was like, no, you have a duty to raise as well. Like this, there is a certain thing, or even though, you know, you look back on it and it's funny and there's stuff I really disagree with it. Because me personally, like, you know, not to...
You wouldn't buy a five-year-old.
I wouldn't buy a five-year-old. I wouldn't smack my kid.
Yeah.
It's just not me. I got smacked as a kid. My dad, not like, I'm not going to pretend I got beaten.
No.
But I got smacked and I don't agree with it.
Do you still remember? I got hit once by my dad.
Oh, no way.
Never. I think I was a really good... I'm not advocating it.
Yeah.
But like, no, but I mean, I deserve... I deserved it. And I think... I'm not advocating hitting kids. But I'm just saying that in life, I try to not get in scenarios that would... I think when I was through, I was like, oh, yeah, if you are a complete arsehole...
Yeah, you're going to... It's a consequence.
Which you shouldn't do stuff out of fear, but... Like, you shouldn't be nice out of fear, but... Yeah, I was just like being a dick about it. I wanted to go to a water park or something, and I was like complaining and crying. My dad was like, if you do that again, I'll clip you around the ear.
That's like, old school smack around.
I was like,
what is
clipping around the ear? And he's like that. I was like, oh, all right. I'll shut up. But,
yeah, me personally, it's not what I'm going to do. If you want to do that to your kid, boy, that's your business. And me personally, I don't want to smack my kid.
Just for the record.
I'm
not going to hit my kids.
You say that, Chris.
I'd wait till they start complaining about the water park, mate.
I remember it's weird, funny stuff that you sort of complain or cry. But I remember when I was a kid, I remember I said this to my mom. This is like, what a piece of shit I was. I think it's probably the most horriblest thing I've ever said to my mom. I was a little kid and I wanted to be a pro wrestler. And I begged my mom to send me to pro wrestling school. And it was like £1,000. And my mom didn't have the money.
I didn't even know there was a pro wrestler.
Yeah,
what, the one like, in Norwich?
No, it was one in Bethnal Green.
Oh, quality.
At Lucha Libre school. And I begged my mom. I said, mom, please send me to wrestling school. My mom was like, I'm not fucking sending you to wrestling school. And I looked her in the eyes. I said, you killed my dream.
Wow. That's such a dark.
Yeah, I know.
How old were you?
About 11.
Oh.
There were dark things to say to your mom. Like, yo, mom, you killed my dream.
There we go.
Horrible, isn't it? What a little spoiler brat that was, isn't it?
That's an early seed of your... This is a link to that in comedy. You've wanted to be that performer for a while.
Oh, yeah. I was into it from a young age. But yeah, I just remember remember saying to Mum, you killed my dream. My mum laughs about that. My mum laughs.
That's funny.
I remember when you always got arrested in school and you told me that you killed my dream.
Did you see that on stage? That's a funny bit.
No, I've never
said
that. That's
funny. Just like kids say the meanest things, but like, that's not even like, yeah, like cussing someone. That's like making someone feel sadness.
It's so.
You killed my dream. Your mum was like, oh, yeah, all right. And then probably cried.
It's quite emotionally manipulative, right? Just like, you killed my dream. What a horrible little fucking brat that was.
Oh, man. You can link from that to this nicely, I think. That's a kind of a comically harsh thing to say to your mum. But what I like to do, two things at the end. If your mum and dad were listening, or your grandmother even, is there anything you'd like to say to them that's like, it could be, it's generally been positive. It's a positive podcast.
I say thank you.
Yeah.
I say thank you, man. 100%. I say thank you. And even though I'm not there, I'm there.
Yeah,
and
that's lovely. Yeah. That's really nice. That says a lot in a few words. And then the other thing we like to do, I'll play this to my dad. He's going to jump on at the end. So my dad does love me. I know that.
Of course he does.
He just is a dude. He doesn't like being put on the spot. Is there anything you think you could say that might encourage John Martin to just relax and just say, I love you?
John Martin. I don't know how much Chris is going to be happy with me saying this, but if you really can understand, it's hard to sort of touch into those emotions. My advice would be is to go and buy MDMA. And you should take MDMA with your son.
Oh, my God.
And you will hug your son and you'll be able to express your feelings. I think, and I know, I know you're pulling back, and I ain't going to take no MDMA. Why not? What's going to happen? What's the worst that's going to happen, bro? It's not going to hurt you. Nothing physically damaging. All you're going to do is feel pure love for a couple hours and it will change your life. So John Martin, his name's John.
Yeah.
John Martin, trust me, do MDMA with your son.
If my dad snogs me, it's your fault. Mate, I'll just call you up. Mate, it's gone too well. I need to make another podcast called Getting My Dad to Leave Me Alone. Mate, that's brilliant. And unsurprisingly, you're the only person to give that advice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great. But I love it. Before we wrap up properly, anything you want to plug to listeners?
I'm on all social media. It's my name, Jamali Maddox. I got a tour in the UK coming up in January to May. I'll be all over the country. I think I'll be in Europe too. I'm plugging this podcast. Keep on listening to this podcast.
Thanks,
it's an amazing podcast. I'm so happy to be here. And so yeah, just that's it really.
Jamali,
man,
one of the best. And please thank watch you. Him if he's in your town, mate. I love you.
I love you too, man. John Martin, trust me, do MDMA.
All right, Dad, that's Jamali's advice. Take some MDMA with me. Do you know what MDMA is before we continue?
I haven't got a clue. It sounds like something something on a computer.
No, it's not, Dad. It is a narcotic, commonly known as ecstasy, probably back in the day.
All right.
Have you ever taken ecstasy before?
No.
Taken any drugs?
Well, I've had dope when I was younger, but who didn't? Dope.
Who didn't?
Yeah, it's interesting because I went and saw this. They asked me in these stupid questions, the doctors. They said, do I smoke? I said, no. Mm-hmm. Do I drink? I said, yes. And then they asked me, do I take recreational drugs? I said, no.
That's a funny question to ask of you. I don't know. Having to seriously ask you that is making me laugh.
And then they asked a really silly question, the really, really silly one, was... how many pillows do you sleep on at night? And I said, either one or two. And he said, how many years have you been sleeping on one or two pillows? And I said, I've no idea, about 60 years, I suppose. But he didn't explain to me why this was terribly important question for...
I agree, that would really confuse me, that they drilled so far into that question.
Well, exactly, as it followed after the question, did I take recreational drugs? did sleeping on one or two pillows have some bearing on my... non-taking of recreational drugs.
That's funny. MDMA is ecstasy, a thing that you take that makes you very happy and very full of love, and you would hug people. And I only know this, Dad, because I've been told about it. I have no first-hand
experience. Sounds like some dodgy thing you get in a nightclub.
It is. It's called Mandy, commonly in the UK. It's called Molly in America. Those are the nicknames for it. Would you be up for taking it out of me?
No, certainly not.
All right.
I'm not going to say I love you at a rave after having a... What did you say it was called? A Mandy?
That would have been a really good end of season finale.
What, for saying, right, Chris, we'll go off to a rave and have some Mandy. I love you.
There we go. That would have been that would have been the perfect way to end the first season. But all right, well, just let's come back next week and see if we can get that final thing sober from you then.
Yeah.
Dad, I love you.
See you next week.
A podcast from producerpaul.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.